This has been an ACB community call.
This Unmute Presents community call was hosted on Tuesday, March 12th, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Unmute. As usual, we have some announcements here at the top. Firstly, we wanted to let everybody know we're going to take all first questions. So once we get through everybody's first question, if we have time, we'll take second questions. Also, please be respectful and let everyone answer their question or get their question answered in the same respect you would like. So remember, there's no dumb questions. Everything is welcome. Also, I want to remind everyone tonight, we have Mac Bites with Bits at 8 Eastern. So check out today's community email for all of that information, as well as checking out the Bits website. And I wanted to let everyone know the question of the day today is, do you use a scanner app? And if you do you use it on your phone, your computer? What's your favorite one and what's your favorite platform to use it on? Also, if you are interested in doing anything with Club Unmute, you can check out the Club Unmute website at unmute.show. And we are wrapping up Reaper right now, and we're going to be starting Introduction to Jaws April 3rd. So all the information's on the website, and if it's not there yet, when you look, it will be there here very shortly. So with all that being said, we also have Michael Babcock with us. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing okay, Marty. I am doing good. So yesterday on Technically Working, we posted TW51. Can you hear my H6E? The answer is no. No, we could not hear his H6E. Where we talked about the Zoom new line of products and a couple of other very interesting topics. So you want to give that a listen. Technically Working is a bit of a rambling technology show from people who use technology in work. So if that's something that interests you, check it out. And then on Sunday, we share Digital Byte, Parcel, iOS signatures, and the Zoom Essentials line. So you want to give that a listen if you're curious about the Parcel app. Chris shows you about the Parcel app. Marty shows you about changing your signatures in iOS Mail. And then I give you a brief discussion of the Zoom Essential lines. Braille Then and Now is a episode that comes out on the first Thursday of the month that Chris recorded called At Your Fingertips. You'll want to check that out for some history of Braille and how Braille has changed. This one she did by herself. The last one that she did last month was with a friend. And then that is a recap of the content we have at this point. And to answer your question there, Marty, I do not use a scanning app for se. I use Seeing AI to read text quickly, and that's when I have my iPhone with me. If I am at convention and I need to be able to get data off of packages quickly, because when I'm a vendor, you want to get people what they ordered. Preferably the right thing they ordered, just saying, mental note to myself, that generally helps. And you want to get that to them quickly. So I actually use Google Lookout on my Pixel or Samsung phones because I find Google Lookout to be a faster scanning utility than Seeing AI is. Although it's interesting because Seeing AI is now on Android as well. And then when it comes to using the computer, I don't use any scanning tools. Sheila, who do we got first?
All right, JC.
Hey, JC.
Hey.
Hey, JC.
Oh, it's been a long time, and I'm on my H1E as we speak right now, but that's beyond the scope of this recording. Anyhow, love this little guy. Anyhow, I'm going to answer the question of the day. So, same as you, Michael, I don't use the scanning app either, but I do use the people detection feature in iOS to detect certain folks that are around me if I'm out and about, if there's clear lights, that is, because sometimes the camera kind of goofs off on me. And or I use the text detection to do a good job at like reading, you know, short instructions. Sometimes the voiceover speech rambles and there's no way to kind of go line by line per se, but it works. And as far as computer goes, I used to when I was in high school, I used to use Open Book from Freedom Scientific, and that really is a game changer for scanning printed material, like, you know, textbooks and things like that. So that's my answer to your question.
That Open Book is a workhorse. Always there, always works. May not be updated every year, but you know what? It still works with Windows. So that's
the last update was 9.0. That was the last update they released.
And that was years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
So, thanks, JC. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Of course. Sheila.
Nolan.
Hey, Nolan.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great. Hey,
thank you. How are you?
I have a concern, and I'm running into a not a very good situation with Reaper on the Mac.
Okay.
I'm having an issue trying to edit a piece of audio that I brought in from that I brought in as a audio project to work with, and I'm trying to edit out parts of it where there's like an advertisement in the way of the recording. And I want to take that out and get to part of the file where the song, like whatever song it is that begins in the file. And I am having trouble editing using Reaper. Is there a way that I can do this? And when I try doing that, I tried doing it running the Osara accessibility script that comes with it, and I get a pop-up dialogue saying that Reaper will exit at a certain, it doesn't say how long, but in order to apply accessibility enhancements, you need to quit and reopen Reaper, and it keeps popping up when I try to get it to, when I quit the application, it would not take.
Okay. So to me, that tells me you may not have Osara installed correctly. When you are in Reaper and you tap your down arrow, does it say no tracks?
Using the Mac OS operating system.
I understand that. So when you are in Reaper and you tap your down arrow key, does it say no tracks?
I believe so.
Okay. Then if it does say no tracks, then that does mean that you have Reaper Osara installed properly. I'm not certain what's going on with that error because I've never seen that before. I do highly recommend that you are running the latest version of Reaper, which currently is 7.11, I believe, is the latest version. So if that's not the case, that's where I would start.
Yes, it is the case.
Okay. So here's what I would recommend. You can use VO Shift C to copy the last thing that VoiceOver says to you. It's called last phrase copied to clipboard. So when you get that specific error message, drop us an email to feedback@unmute.show with that error message pasted in the email, and then I can further troubleshoot with you. Ultimately, once you get Reaper up and running, the best way to accomplish this is to paste the item, is to paste the audio file into Reaper. That'll create a new track and an item inside of that track. You press space to play until the beginning of the commercial or the ad that you want to edit out. Press control space to move focus to the beginning of that. Use your left bracket key to start time selection. Play through the ad and then press control space to move focus to the end of the ad, and then press your right bracket key, and that will end the time selection, and then you can delete that ad right there. And if you need a recap of that, we do have recordings of past unmute calls. I'm sorry, of past unmute Club Unmute on Club Unmute. So you can go grab those downloads. And also ReaperAccessibility.com is an amazing resource that if you're wanting to use Reaper, I highly recommend exploring.
Okay, because what I'm going to do because of I have, so pretty soon I'm going to be using it for like audio production stuff for my podcast so that if I have episodes that need to be edited, I could use that instead of using a team member of my team to do it.
Yep.
Because I can use that, you know, to try that for 60 days and then I would have to pay for it.
Yep.
I'm just trying that. So
yes. That is correct. So give that a try. And then, as I said, Nolan, when you get that error message in Reaper, do that VO shift C to copy the last phrase to the clipboard and paste that into an email to our feedback at unmute.show. And with the exact error message, we can further help you and figure out what's going on. Okay.
Okay. I will definitely do that as we speak today.
Perfect.
As soon as we're done here. And if it continues, is there a way that I can uninstall Reaper and the command prompt script?
Yep. So you can uninstall Reaper. It is a bit of a process. Go to reaperaccessibility.com and there's some directions on where you need to go to remove files. Unless you're using a tool like Clean My Mac or Hazel, which will clean up after Reaper. So if you are using one of those tools, you can simply delete Reaper out of your applications folder, and then you should be prompted if you want the rest of the application files deleted.
Okay.
Perfect, Nolan. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your help today. And I will definitely reach out to you and the rest of your team with that error message today. In fact, I may even, if necessary, I can even also take a screenshot of it and have somebody cite it. Take a look at it.
You can just send me a screenshot. I have ways of looking at it. So don't worry about finding someone cited to look at it. I can grab that if that's easier for you, Nolan. So
yeah,
thanks a lot. Sheila, who do we got next?
Brad, do we have somebody in Clubhouse?
Yes, we do. We have John on stage. Go ahead, John.
Two Brads.
Hey,
that's
guys.
Scary.
How's it going?
Hey, John.
How are you, John? How's it going?
That is funny. It's going pretty good, man.
Good.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember exactly what my question was. I did want to comment on the scanner thing that you guys were talking about at the beginning. I used to use an app called VB Scanner. I think that was from Voice, the guys that did Voice Stream. I believe so, at least. I used it. The last time I used it was in Alabama. I went to Montgomery because I'm a big fan of Hank Williams, and I went to the museum and I got some brochures, and I was able to scan that with BB Scanner, and it got the scans pretty good, actually. And I was actually very pleasantly surprised. I kind of want to try it against Seeing AI and see which one has the better results. And I also have a Pixel as well, so I might try that with Google Lookout too, to see, kind of like a battle of the scanners. That might be interesting.
So I don't know, John, if you heard the news, but Seeing AI is now on Android as well. So it might even be worth downloading that to Android to see if the experience on iOS and Android is any different too.
Yeah, and it's funny because I do like to do stuff like that. I like to kind of compare the different ways that UIs are laid out between the different OSs. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see. As far as the questions, I also had a Reaper question, and mine is about inserting instruments onto tracks. I also use Reaper for Mac because I'm trying to get away from Logic a little bit because there's so much interacting, and I feel like Reaper is a lot faster when getting stuff done. Whenever I try to insert, because I use Complete Control, I try to insert Complete Control instrument, and it always pops up this dialogue that says something about that it can't scan one of the contact library, which is weird because Logic handles it just fine. So I don't know if I have to reinstall Reaper, maybe.
So in that instance, what it might be worth. Full transparency, when I'm teaching Reaper, I'm teaching it from a podcaster's perspective. I am definitely not a musician. But the first thing I would try is, number one, go into your preferences with Command P. Under General, go ahead and make a backup of your settings, because there's an option to make a backup so you don't lose any of those settings, and save that to your downloads or somewhere. And then at that point, you can reset your Reaper settings and see if that fixes it. I also wonder if for some reason something isn't registering with that specific instrument. So there's a mailing list called Reapers Without Peepers. And if you haven't checked that mailing list out, they will have answers for you when it comes to Complete Control.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm also in the WhatsApp group too. So I might hop over there and talk. I didn't even think about that. That's a good idea. All right, thank you. Also, congratulations on the work with AT, guys. I see you're doing stuff with this.
Well, thank you. Yep, it's been fun. And looking forward to meeting JJ again. It'll be the second time I've met him in person when we're down at CSUN next year. So
that's so
next
cool, week. Man. That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. All right, awesome.
Thanks a lot, John.
Yep.
Who do we got next, Sheila?
Donna Brown.
Hey, Donna.
Hey, Donna. How are you?
Hello, everyone. So I kind of came in late, but I figured out the question. It wasn't too hard. On my iPhone, I it depends what I'm doing, but most of the time I do use VD scan. I purchased that when I was still working. My job, I felt like I needed to have just about every scanning app there was available at the time, because I was going out into the schools and I needed to show, you know, how these apps were used. So, but most of the time I do use VD scan. Sometimes I use Seeing AI, but most of the time VD scan, sometimes I want to scan, save what I've done too. And so it's easier and it's set up right with my Dropbox and, you know, all that kind of thing. It bailed me out this morning, I can tell you that. I thought I lost my homeowner's insurance bill. But anyway, I found it and it read me the price, you know, what I owed and the whole bit.
If you lose it, does that mean you don't have to pay it? If only, right?
Well.
I think that's the rule. If you lose it, you don't have to pay it.
If only. Don't take that as financial advice.
No. So my question is, I'm hoping for some suggestions. I am in need of a printer. My printer bit the dust after many years of good service. And what I really want is, what I prefer to have is a printer, copier, scanner, you know, combination of some sort. I just need some recommendations. I just don't even know where to start.
I have a question for you. What kind of things are you going to be printing? Mostly documents?
Just mostly documents, yeah.
If you're going to be printing mostly documents and you're not trying to print photos and do all that kind of stuff, I would highly recommend getting a black and white laser scanner. And the reason why I say that is because you're going to get way more bang for your buck in terms of having to refill, you know, the cartridges.
And that's what I had, was a black and white laser.
Right.
But, you know, that was a long time ago. And so
they're not even that expensive anymore. You can get one for between $150 and $250 for a black and white. I mean, and now they even have some color ones, but the ink is going to be a lot more money. So if you only need to do documents, black and white will save you money on the cartridges and they last a lot longer. Also, if you're wanting to be able to print from all of your devices, I would definitely make sure that you get one that's compatible with like your phone, your iPad, your computer, all the things, you know?
Okay.
And it's not even that much more money. A lot of them just have it built in now.
So like, do you have any brand recommendations?
I have a model number here. It is not a laser printer. It is an ink printer. So I'm going to preface it with that. Okay. But it is a workhorse, and it's been the printer I've used for the last 6 years, because the one before that was a Brother, and you can still buy these. So I'm using the Epson WF, so Whiskey Frank, -3820. So I'm using the Epson WF3820. What I like about that is it is AirPrint compatible. So once you get it connected with the fairly inaccessible touchscreen, so that is a caveat, as it does have a fairly inaccessible touchscreen. I highly recommend, I was able to set it up with Ira. So if that makes any difference, you can use Be My Eyes or Ira to set it up. But once you get it set up, you can log into the web portal and initiate scans from there. So you can just download the PDF file if that's something you need to do. You can also print from any of your devices at your house that's on the same Wi-Fi. And it does give you the capabilities. I don't use this because I don't trust it, but it does give you the ability to set up an email address so you can email documents from your phone to the printer and it will automatically print those out for you.
Okay. That's if you're away from your house. If you're in your house, you can use your same network to just print right to the printer.
Yep. So hopefully that helps a little bit. And if anyone else has any recommendations, raise your hand and share them with Donna.
Yes, I would be.
HP
would be
is another good one. I would look at HP.
And that's what I had was HP. You know, that was the one I had. I just didn't know if there was any specific ones, because I really would like one if it still had buttons on and, you know.
Epson one that I recommended, it does have a touchscreen to interact with it, but it does have buttons you can use to navigate the touchscreen.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Of course.
All right. Beth.
Good morning, Beth.
Okay. Hi. Hope you guys are having a good day.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a
question, like about like playlist on YouTube. Like if I use the Ponte's Media Downloader, it somehow would not download the whole playlist because like, you know how YouTube, they take videos off, you know, like I have a playlist of game shows and then get the game show bloopers, the funny, you know, how they play different funny parts. So, and like, just say, I might want to download it, say to MP3, but, and I tried to download another playlist, but it won't. Said something about cannot download videos, or I would have to do something else. I forgot, but it should be MP. I should be able to put it to MP3, right?
You should be able to. And unfortunately, I don't use Ponte's. I know a lot of people that do. In this instance, what I would do in your case, Beth, is I would reach out to their support team and ask them, hey, why can't I download this playlist with your software? And they should be able to assist you. That's a tool that I don't have any experience with using.
And okay. And I was wondering about Pages, like on the iPhone, the app, they have an app called Pages.
Yeah, that's a word. That's basically Apple's version of a word processor. It's like Apple's version of Word.
Oh, so
you can either do a blank document if you just want to have a blank sheet, you know, and just type in it. But it also has templates of all kinds of different things you could preload and label stuff. And it depends what you're doing, but it's basically a word processor.
So I can put files, like write notes in there. I know there's a notes app, but I could write like.
You could.
Yeah, you can do anything you want. Just open up a brand new blank document and it'll just give you a space to type and you can just type away.
Oh,
it also saves it to the cloud. So, you know, if you have other devices like an iPad or a Mac computer, then you could pull up that same documents and you could work on them anywhere because it saves them to the cloud.
Yep.
Okay. Because I know there's an app Files. Does it save them to files?
Yes.
Sounds good.
You can
good.
Open files and access your page documents there.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Thanks, Beth. And reach out to Ponte's and maybe they'll be able to provide you with some further troubleshooting instructions. Okay.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Perfect. Who do we got next, Sheila?
Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Coffee.
Hello. I'm doing okay. To answer the question of the day, oh boy, do I ever use scanning apps every day? I use, depending on what I'm doing, I use Seeing AI. I also use SuperSense, Envision, and VoiceDream. The VoiceDream, both the scanner and the VoiceDream reader. And I still have the, oh gee, it's now called One Step Reader. It used to be called,
KNFB Reader.
KNFB Reader. Yeah, my brain's not working today very well. But anyway, I still have that one. I rarely use it now because as far as I'm concerned, it got really messed up several years ago and it just doesn't work as well now. But that's a personal thing. I just still occasionally will need to call on it for something. But so, yes, I scan a lot of documents, mail and read books or article, you know, whatever. But my question, this is a brief, simple one, should be, I'm a little confused because I think I heard one of you say that on a Mac to copy is VO plus shift plus
C? If you're just copying text, it's just Command C.
That's what I thought. So what's,
Let me clarify that for you, Pam. VO shift C is copy last phrase to clipboard. So that copies the last thing the VoiceOver says. I believe that's a triple three-finger tap on iOS that does the same thing.
It's a quadruple, three-finger quadruple tap.
Now, if you're doing on a command shift C, I think that's the combination. What that does is it removes any formatting in your text if you just want the plain text, which you can also accomplish the same thing by pasting whatever it is you copied into a plain text editor will also remove the formatting.
Okay.
Sometimes people copy something, but they don't want all its formatting. They just want the text.
Gotcha. So, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So to answer your question, you're right, Pam. VO Shift C is the same thing as the three finger quadruple tap on iOS, but it's for Mac OS.
Gotcha.
And side note, that keystroke does work when you're using a Bluetooth keyboard connected to iOS as well.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yep.
And while we're at it, about printers, what is the difference between a laser printer and a regular printer?
Go for it, Marty. You're the one that opened that.
What's the difference in layman's terms?
Basically, a laser printer, it uses a different kind of ink and it lasts way longer. They used to be way more expensive than an inkjet printer, which allows you to print photos in color and things like that. When you buy an inkjet printer, they tend to be very inexpensive for the most part. Even if you, you know, purchase a really good one, supposedly, they're not that expensive. But the cartridges for them are usually ridiculous. I mean, you fill it twice and you've bought the thing twice already.
That's why I asked, because I got so tired of having to replace my ink, and I don't do a lot of printing.
Right.
And so I hardly had a chance to use it at all, and it would be, I'd get the alert. Low on ink.
Right. Well, so
maybe a laser,
the average inkjet printer allows you to print on the average of about 300 copies. A laser printer, if you do black and white, will allow you to print about 1,200 copies. So if you're only doing documents, you don't need to refill it nearly as much, and the cost is a lot less. So, but that's only if you're printing documents. What you lose out on is color and being able to print photos and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's important to know if you're only doing documents. But a lot of people will buy both just for the sake of if they want to print a photo or something color, they have that option. Mm-hmm. But as a majority, if they're printing office documents, then the laser is going to last them way longer. So,
yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Go.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. So, as far as scanning apps, I'm using Vision AI, use Google Lookout. Those are pretty much it. I actually wanted to ask Michael, so is Seeing AI, correct me if I'm wrong, is Seeing AI the app that was primarily an Apple for like the iPhones and now it's coming over to Android?
Yeah, so Seeing AI is the tool that Microsoft produced that has quick scan, document scan, product recognition, and six other modes that you can put it in. It was just iOS only, but earlier this year they brought it to Android.
All right, that's so I can install that today?
Yep.
If I wanted to? Okay, cool.
Yep.
So my question really was this, and I hope you guys have some suggestions because I have come up with zilch on my end. I have an exercise bike, stationary exercise bike from Bowflex that when I had sight, I was able to use. And it has a very small, inaccessible digital readout that gives you all the stats, like your distance, revolution, speed, resistance, all of that. But it's inaccessible. There's no audible cue. So I'm looking for something to get myself back into exercising and using it again. I'm looking for something that can give me at least, at the very least, an audible kind of indicator for like how much distance I've gone actually on the bike. It has a USB port, does not have an audio jack like an AC jack. It has a USB port that I can connect to the digital interface of the bike. But I don't know of anything that's external that could give me like an audio kind of feedback of how far or how long, like how far I've gone on the bike.
I would get an Apple Watch.
Yep. Okay. That would be the easiest way because you can set indoor cycling as one of your workouts. So the Apple Watch is able to track how far you've gone and it's going to give you that information right there and it will store that information on your phone as well. And ultimately, you don't need like the newest Apple Watch either. So you don't need to spend a lot of money. I actually have a Apple Watch on one of the Blindcell blind buy sell trade list, if I can talk today, right now, that's an Apple Watch 6, and it's under $200. So you can get Apple Watches for low cost, and that will then keep the information on your watch. You can read it right there, or after your workout, you can go back to the health app on your iPhone and check out how far did I bike today, or how far did I bike on September 6th. You know, you can go back and look at that historical data.
And it has also now, voiceover, so you can hear everything. And they have third-party apps as well. Like if you're really into biking and that's something that you prefer to do over most other things, they've got Strava, which is a really great bike app that allows you to show the distance. It gives you a whole bunch of crazy stuff. So,
Strava, can you spell that?
I believe it's Strava. I want to say Strava.
Strava. And is that, do you believe that's for like Android? Because I have an Android.
I didn't realize that. So Pixel Watch 2 is where I would go with that. I have one sitting here. They just pushed an update to the Pixel Watch last week that has improved the text-to-speech engine on it to make it more reliable. And again, Pixel Watch is based on Fitbit, and so it has the Fitbit technology inside of it, but the data is actually accessible to you using the Pixel line of watches. If you're in the Samsung ecosystem, I understand that the Samsung watch is okay. From what I have heard, people have had better luck with accessibility on the Pixel Watch, but you could get a Samsung watch as well. And then again, that will connect to your phone and you can go into the Google Health app and capture the data that's already been submitted to it. The last suggestion is you could just get like a lower end Fitbit and maybe learn the steps to start a workout, but you're not going to get the audible feedback on that device directly. But that data is transferred to your phone, so then you can consume it with TalkBack.
And you'd have to look and see if Strava is for Android. I'm not sure if it is or not.
Okay. So when connecting like the information from the with Strava or with what you're saying, Michael, with Pixel, a Pixel Watch. So the Pixel Watch, similar to the Apple Watch, it would calculate or the distance I would be going on a bike in difference to steps. Because I had a Fitbit, but the problem when you sit down on a bike, it doesn't always transfer accurately the distance you're going on the bike.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm really, it's important. Like, I don't want to have to have biked 4 miles and then the Fitbit only tells me I've only biked 1 mile.
Yeah. So the Pixel Watch does have cycle workout. I'm 95% sure. I'll look that up here in a second. Strava is available on Android. You can search for it in the Play Store. It is available. S-T-R-A Victor A.
And would I have to connect my phone to use Strava like to the bike itself, do you think?
Like, I don't believe you have to. No. No, I don't believe you have to.
Okay.
And then one last thing, because we've given you cheap solutions in the grand scheme of things. Peloton does offer accessibility on their bikes. So if that's an option for you, you do have full control over getting information about your cadence, setting resistance, and all of the details on both the Peloton Bike and the Peloton Bike Plus. The accessibility is better on the Bike Plus, but it is also typically about $1,000 more. But that's an option for you too.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
No worries.
Good luck.
All right, Brad, who we have in Clubhouse?
We have Greg on stage. Go ahead.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Hello, Michael. Hello, Marty. Hello, everyone. Sheila, Brad, everyone, the whole kit and caboodle here. Anyway, my question is regarding Messenger. Mm-hmm. So I use the Messenger app on my phone, and lately it's been telling me something about, do you want this to back up or store your messages or something. So I'm getting a message like that. So I don't know what to do about that. My other Messenger question was, I noticed on the iPhone app, I can access my groups. And this is just a problem that has started happening in the past 3 or 4 months. I can access any groups that I'm in, such as I'm in a Dice World group on there. I'm in the ACB Next Generation Lounge for my affiliate that I'm in. And I can access those, but only through the phone, not on my PC, because I tried to do Messenger, you know, when I want to make sure that I'm getting all my information correct. I do try to type messages on the PC my phone.
The thing about backing up, if you're using your phone and it's asking you, do you want to back it up? Part of the reason why it would want you to back it up is if you lose your device and you want to bring all of your stuff back, if you have to get a new device, that it will be able to bring it back because it'll be saved in the cloud. Wow. But the second thing is if you're using multiple devices, then it can reach from the cloud to bring that data down to other devices. If you keep it only local on one device, then it's not synced up with your other devices if you are going to use multiple devices. So what you would do, like on your phone, would show up and kind of be the same when you get on your computer or your tablet and vice versa. So everything is always synced up together.
Okay. So, but this doesn't seem to be, I'll have to look at it again because it doesn't seem to be, that's not the question. And of course, I don't have the correct message in front of me that it's giving me, but it might be that. So.
And then to answer your question about Windows, don't do it. I mean, that, unfortunately, that's not the right answer, but Facebook does not have the best reputation when it comes to accessibility of their platforms, unfortunately. So I don't have a great solution for you. The only suggestion I have is to possibly use a Bluetooth keyboard that can connect to your iPhone, since you can access those messages in the Messenger app, those groups, and then type your messages using a Bluetooth keyboard on your phone. Because I, in full transparency, I haven't used Facebook in about 3 years now, two or three years now. So I can't give directions on using Facebook Messenger on the desktop. If anyone has feedback for Greg, please raise your hand because I think that's important information. Greg, you're using JAWS?
I am using JAWS, yes.
Okay. So another solution would be to find out from Vespero if they have any suggestions or tips for interacting with Facebook Messenger. And you can get that information just by calling their tech support team, and they should be able to give you any sort of tips or suggestions for navigating that interface.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate your help. And yeah, I may just have to resort to using it on my phone. And I do have a Bluetooth keyboard, so I can do that. So thank you.
No worries.
Good luck.
Appreciate it, Triple G. Have a good one.
All right, Sandra.
Hey, Sandra. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm bringing this up not for me. I've had no problem with this, but I have a friend who's very upset about it. And she claims it's the same thing has happened to another person. This is dealing with Microsoft. Evidently, these two people have suddenly their computers, their desktops, or whatever they have, has started switching them from Microsoft 10 to Microsoft 11.
Okay.
And when that happened, the one friend that I know, I don't know the other one, it's somebody she knows, she called me all shook up. She didn't want to go to Microsoft 11. She tried to stop the update. She couldn't. The end result, according to her, was she and this other person, their computers crashed. My friend had some computer guy come and look at the computer. It needs a new motherboard. He says he can't get one, so she's got to buy a whole new computer. Has that happened to a lot of people? I never heard of this happening.
Go ahead, heard Michael. Of the upgrade of Windows 11, the upgrade from Windows 10 to Windows 11 causing a motherboard to crash. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened before, but I have not heard of that happening. Marty?
Typically, what could happen when somebody does an update of an operating system, if you have parts that are kind of on their way out, that could kind of push it over the edge, because what will happen is it makes your computer work really hard when you're updating the operating system, installing stuff, updating stuff, and doing all that. So it's not that it causes it to fail. If it's already starting to have issues, then it will push it over the edge sometimes just because of how hard it makes a machine work when you are doing an operating system update. That's one thing. Another thing is if you're going from an old operating system where your computer's kind of just sort of putting along and you go to a new operating system and it requires requires a lot more power or a lot more juice to do certain things, that could also kind of just make it go and choke and put it over the edge. So like Windows 11, for example, you need a lot more higher minimum requirements than you would on, for example, like Windows 10. You can put Windows 10 on a much less powerful computer than you could where Windows 11 starts at. So it just depends on what they're doing, really.
Now, that being said, however, Marty, do you want to share your journey with Windows and where her friend might be able to get a decent Windows computer?
Yeah, definitely. So if you are looking to get an upgraded computer, I would suggest going to Computers for the Blind. They have very, very cost-effective computers. You can update them in terms of hard drive. So the base always comes with 256 SSD, and all their computers come with SSD hard drives, as well as 8 gigs of RAM, but you can update that. So if you want to go to a 512 or a 1 terabyte on the hard drive, you could. If you want to update to 16 gigs of RAM instead of 8, you can do that. They definitely have grants and ways to make computers cost effective for you. If you're looking for something new, you can always ask for Windows 11, Windows 11 Professional. So I would check them out. They can definitely help you. They've got a year of JAWS. They've got JAWS training. They've got all kinds of great stuff going on there. So I would definitely check them out, and you'll get a great computer at a much cost effective price than buying a new one retail. And you'll get the software you need. So.
I didn't realize you could update anything on that or whatever. But nope. I mentioned that to my friend, and she's, oh, no, I'm not going to go. She's, her computer guy is finding her something.
Okay.
Well, when you do it that way, retail, you got to buy all that software on your own. So it's good to check them out.
Right. So I guess the end result of maybe if something happened, oops, when something happens like this, it's probably that somebody's using an older computer.
That would be my guess, yes.
Kind of sinking. Okay.
Well, their computer is at least 5 years old, because Windows 11 has been out for a couple of years. So it may have just been that time, like, because these things are not designed to last forever, though we would like them to be.
If you get 5 years out of a computer, that's great. Most computers are considered obsolete after 5 years.
Oh, yeah. I gave up on my computer that I bought in 2012, probably about a year ago. That was slowing way down. And fortunately, I didn't have a problem going to Windows 11.
If you bought a computer in 2012 and it worked great for you all the way till now, then you definitely got your money's worth out of that computer.
There you go, Sandra. Well, thanks a lot. Yeah. And hopefully that helped you.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
Of course. Sheila, who do we got next?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of things quickly. The 17.4 iOS update. Mm-hmm. If you have you guys noticed any, like, I'm having some quirky stuff happening using Magic Tap to dictate. Any?
I haven't noticed that, but I've heard some people say that they're having some issues with Siri on the latest version and her not being as responsive. And so I've heard some quirks, but I have not had issues with two-finger double-tapping myself.
Okay. And is there a resource for learning how to use Copilot on Windows 11? Is there a good resource for that?
I wish. I'm aware of. Jeff Bishop did a demonstration of it on the Tech Talk podcast. So you can search for that. I think he did that, probably 2 or 3 months ago, maybe 2 months ago. And then, of course, you always have the resource, since I presume you're using assistive technology, of reaching out to Microsoft Disability Answer Desk. And they may have some additional resources, since this is a Microsoft product. They can help you with learning how to use Copilot.
All right. Jeff Bishop, Tech Talk podcast from a few months ago. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Of course. No, thanks a lot.
All right. Juliana.
Hey, Juliana.
Hey, Juliana. How are you?
Oh, no, we don't hear you.
Juliana, you're still muted. All right. We'll go to Sirku. We'll come back Sirku. To Juliana.
Hey, Sirku. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
So about the latest iOS update, I realized Siri doesn't give that kind of sound you press the, because I have a home button phone. Mm-hmm. So Siri doesn't give that sound, so you don't know if it starts like listening or not. So that's kind of annoying.
Yes, it is. It only vibrates.
Yeah. Yes. So that's really annoying. But yeah, I just wanted to answer the question. I use Seeing AI to read short text and vision too in PD scanner. So yeah, that's what I use. I find them very useful and use them like not daily, but very often to read the text on the packages and so on to know what to do with it. So yeah.
Very good.
So thank you. And you're doing a great job. I love to hear this call.
Thank you, Sirku. Appreciate it. And thanks for your input.
Oh, thanks.
All right. We've got 10 minutes and you know that there's a show right after ours.
Yep.
So we probably want to end about retail.
Yep.
Anyway, you don't have any first timers. So we'll go back to JC.
Hi, JC.
Okay, there we go. I'm unmuted now. So I'm going to quickly answer the question on Beth's scanner recommendation. There is Brother Laser. You forgot that one. Brother is a good brand. There's also All-in-One, which includes a scanner, printer, and a fax machine. Gosh, who remembers fax machines? My sister has one. I don't know. I think it still works, but I don't know the manufacturer nor the number. But you can look on Amazon. Amazon has good options, and also Walmart has good recommendations. Some come with a subscription. The one I looked at came with the subscription with a free trial, and others just come as a standalone with, like Marty said, cartridge and stuff. So best bet is to look on Walmart or Best Buy or check your local reseller and or call them and ask them what recommendations they offer.
Cool. Thanks, Perfect. JC.
Thanks a lot, JC. Appreciate that.
Your shows are awesome, and I really love your content. I listen to it as frequent as I can, and I love all the content you guys put up. So keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, JC. Who do we got next, Sheila?
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey. So just like JC, I kind of had two follow-ups, comments. I hope it doesn't come off like I'm disagreeing with you, Marty, but as far as like recommendations for the printer with HP and with the ink, I just bought a HP All-in-One printer, and I used to get the ink separately, and that would have really was not cost effective. But I think HP realizes that and has this program called Instant Ink that when you purchase a new printer like I did, they give you 3 months of Instant Ink, but Instant Ink doesn't just give you ink, it gives you paper, and paper is like gold if you're printing enough. But the Instant Ink isn't very expensive at all, and it probably is more cost effective, and they'll send you the ink as long as your printer is connected to the internet. They'll send you the ink when they realize that your ink is running low, so you won't ever have to worry about that perspective.
It's a good feature. That's new. That wasn't around the last time I shopped around for a printer.
Yeah, so and normally the Instant Ink was just ink, and I think just recently they added paper to their, I guess, program. So it's a little bit of both, because you could get the ink, but then you're still paying out the nose for the printer paper. So now you're not.
Yeah, that's great.
The other thing was, I just, as Michael had suggested about the Peloton, when he mentioned it, I was like, okay. And then the first thing that came to mind is expensive. And I just went to their website. They have a lot more affordable options,
yep,
such as one that is a rental option where you can rent it for $89 a month. And then say it's tax season, say whether you do this now or in a couple months from now, you get a tax return that's decent. You can pay it off at any time. So there are definitely more affordable options out there for something like Peloton, which is accessible, according to Michael. So, yeah.
And Peloton does have some accessibility documentation. So if you want to look that up, you can search Peloton accessibility. The only reason I know this is I used to work for Peloton. So I'm familiar with their accessibility options. And so exploring those rental is well worth it, especially when you think about, maybe I pay $70 a month for a gym membership, but all I'm using is the bike or the treadmill. Maybe I should get my own. So definitely worth looking it up.
Well, one question, now that you bring that up, because one of the things it said was it has a touch screen. Is that still accessible?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so it's based on Android. So you double tap on things. They're using TalkBack on there.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Just wanted to leave that comment.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Good luck. Thanks a lot.
Got about five more minutes. Who do we have next?
Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what What was the podcast you said about Braille? You said somebody has a podcast on Braille. And another question was, now, Reaper, can you put your cassettes on CD? Like with that, somebody was saying with that you could, but
so you would need a way to get your cassettes digitized into Reaper, because Reaper's a digital audio workstation. So if you have a tool that we've talked about a couple of times that would let you play your cassettes and then record those into an audio file, then you could clean them up with Reaper. That is completely doable. But again, you would need a third-party tool. Related to the podcast, if you are subscribed to Unmute Presents in your podcast app, Beth, on Thursday... Mm-hmm. Chris published an episode called, I just lost it off the top, Braille at Your Fingertips, Then and Now. So that's what we were talking about with the Braille podcast. You can give that a listen in order to hear that information, okay?
And she'll be putting it out once a month on a Thursday.
Yep.
On Unmute Present, yep. Presents?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
And another one about a thumb flash drive. I don't have my digital player NLS, so I can put the flash drives, like how do I hook them up to USB?
You just plug them into the USB port.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, thanks.
Perfect. Thanks, Beth. And with that, in order to get things efficiently passed on for ACB Media, I've got games to play with Lady A in my left ear, and Marty's going to wrap it up today in my right ear.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll be back same time next week. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can always email us at feedback@unmute.show. You can also check out the website for all the other things we have going on, which is unmute.show. And thanks to Brad and Sheila for all you do. We appreciate you every week. And everyone have a great one, and we'll see you guys next time.